Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is the Previews Spotlight covering the items in the December 2011 previews. These items should start arriving in stores in February 2012. We'll be starting at the front of previews, working our way to the back. We're only going to be talking about the highlights, not everything in previews, because to do so would just be crazy. The thing's still a couple hundred pages. As always, we have an open submission policy. These Preview Spotlight episodes rely heavily on our listeners sending in clips as to what they found interesting. Because, frankly, sometimes I miss things in previews. I actually, when I filled in my last order, had to send DCBS saying, hey, add these things. I missed this issue and this issue last month. Because it happens. So we appreciate people sending in clips just because we want to hear what they're excited about, what they're interested in, and what we may not be aware of. So again, open submission policy. Like I said, we start at the beginning and just work our way back.
Yeah, I mean, I know that just as an example, this month, something that Damien sent a clip in on, I was like, oh, that looks cool. I'm going to get that. And it wasn't something that I was originally going to get. So, it's always handy to get these clips from listeners. And hopefully, as you're listening to it, we'll put some light onto something that sounds interesting to you also.
Yeah, because the whole point here is to act as kind of a matchmaking service to match up the right reader with the right titles for them and vice versa. Because not everything is for everybody, but there is something out there for everybody that they're just going to love. We want to help make that happen. We have instructions on the forum as to how to put together a clip and send it in. If you have questions, either post to the forum or just email us. Because again, we want to hear what you guys are excited about right now. There's a ton of comics coming out, and again, we want to share the love on that. So, shall we start with the first clip?
Sure, let's go. And first off, we're going to start out on page 26 of the Dark Horse section with Conan the Barbarian number 1. This is the new series by Brian Wood and Becky Cloonan, and they are going to be adapting, to start out, Robert E. Howard's fan favorite, Queen of the Black Coast. Conan turns his back on the civilized world and takes to the high seas alongside the pirate queen Belit, setting the stage for an epic of romance, terror, and swashbuckling. And this is one of my favorite Conan stories. John and I did a back issue spotlight focusing on this era of Conan by Roy Thomas and John Buscema a few years ago. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how Brian Wood and Becky Cloonan are going to be taking this on. On page 27, there's a couple of pages of sample art. And this we have at a 50% discount from DCBS. And I am greatly looking forward to seeing their take on my favorite barbarian.
Next up on page 75 is DC Universe Presents number 6. This is the start of the second arc. They're switching up characters and stuff. This time it's the Challengers. I believe it's really the Challengers of the Unknown, but they may be just renaming them down to just the Challengers. Now, this is written by Dan Didio, and I've had really mixed feelings on some of his writing. I thought what he did back on Superboy back in the day was all right. I thought what he did on Outsiders was really not that great. Not really loving his OMAC, but when he did stuff like Metal Men and a few other things, he's done some really good stuff. So I'm willing to give him a chance. And really the thing that I think knocks this over the top for me is the Jerry Ordway art. The guy is amazing. He was artist on a lot of the Earth 2 stuff back in the day with All-Star Squadron, Infinity Inc. He's a really polished artist, and good to see him working again. He's doing both the interior art and the cover. We've got a picture of the cover here that looks just amazing. You know, I like little things like how the mountain in the background, you know, if you look closely, has a face. It's like I didn't notice it at first. Now I can't not notice it. It's fun. So I'm looking forward to this. This should be some good stuff. DCBS has it at a 50% discount. Even if you're getting the local store at full price, that's always worth doing. And we wanted to point this out because, again, this is kind of the first arc. They're switching both creative teams and character teams. And this time there are 8 survivors of the fiery plane crash, which actually looks more like a helicopter in the background, but whatever. So this may be a completely new group of challengers than we'd seen before, because I had thought the team was a lot smaller back before. But good jumping on point, obviously, so check that out.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and I am a fan of this podcast. This month, I am looking forward to a comic book called Batwoman number 6 from DC Comics. It's on page 89 of the previews catalog. And the writer is, of course, J.H. Williams III, along with W. Hayden Blackman. The pencils are by Amy Reeder, with inks by Richard Friend. Amy Reeder worked on a few issues of Batwoman, along with J.H. previous to the DC relaunch. She was also the penciler and sometimes inker for Madame Xanadu from Vertigo, which was just an amazing series, and I recommend people check that out. I think it ended about a year or a year and a half ago. J.H. Williams is the writer and artist of the first 5 issues, as well as he did all the previous issues before the DC relaunch. Amy Reeder is taking over the art for a bit. I'm not sure how many issues, so that J.H. can get caught up on the artwork for the next story arc. And this was pre-planned. J.H.'s art has been amazing, but I really look forward to Amy Reeder's sequentials, because I haven't seen much from her in a long time other than covers for DC. Now, this new story arc will be called To Drown the World. And I think the story in the first couple issues has been good, and I think J.H.'s writing has been getting better. And it's nice to see him, getting better with the writing along with being so good at the artwork. Now, this comic is scheduled to be released on February 8th, 2012. And the price tag is $2.99 for, I'm assuming, 20 pages of story. And I look forward to it. Thanks, Bob and John.
Hey guys, it's Damien here from LordShaper.com with my first pick for the month, which is on page 94, and it is Batman Beyond Unlimited number 1. So we saw the end of Adam Beachman's run on Batman Beyond after 8 issues when we had the new DC 52 come through. And, you know, they said they'll be back in February. So I guess this is what it's going to be. It's on sale on February 29th. So they just get in. If there's any other year, I should probably wouldn't make it. But we're going to actually have the whole universe there. So you're going to have the older Superman. You're going to have the Justice League there with the new Green Lantern and, you know, the son of Hawkman in there. So this is going to be interesting to see where they go with this side of things. They've only really touched on it with both the animated series and with the actual comics over the time that they've had it. So I want to see what they're going to be doing there, and it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to focus it. Is it going to be like a Justice League of the Future type book, or is it going to circle around Batman and he's going to be bringing people in sort of, you know, along the lines of a Brave and the Bold, or if you'll have stories without them actually in it at all? So it'll be interesting to see where it's going to go from there. I enjoyed the actual Beecham run on there previously, and I will be getting this one again. So yeah, have a look. Okay, bye.
Next up, we've got Legends of the Dark Knight, the Jim Aparo hardcover. This is a DC collected edition that's collecting the first part of Jim Aparo's classic run on the Brave and the Bold. We've got stories featuring all Batman team-ups, but Batman's teaming up with the likes of Green Arrow, Black Canary, the Teen Titans, Deadman, Wonder Woman, the Demon, the Joker, Aquaman, the Atom, and many more. This is Brave and Bold number 98, 100 through 102, and 104 through 122. Jim Aparo is a not as much appreciated artist nowadays, because he hasn't been drawing anything for many, many years, but he was one of my all-time favorite Batman artists. He did a lot more Brave and the Bold beyond this. This goes up through 122, and he did many, many more Brave and Bold issues from 123 and beyond that if they want to, they can do a volume 2 and a volume 3 of this, collecting all of Aparo's classic Brave and the Bold work with the Batman team up. So this is a great series with Batman and a great artist. He really made a mark on the character. So if you've never had the opportunity to check this stuff out, it's well worth your time to pick up this hardcover edition. It's $49.99. If you're a DCBS customer, it's got a 45% off discount, which makes it much more reasonably priced.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my second pick for the month, which is on page 132 from the Vertigo section, and it is Black Orchid Deluxe Edition Hardcover. Now, a couple of you may have seen Black Orchid come through in, I think it was in 52, she came back into it. She sort of appeared here and there over a while. This is where I actually got into Black Orchid from the Vertigo side of things. So this is back from in the 90s. This is from before The Sandman was actually written. Neil Gaiman had actually wrote this book. It was a four-issue miniseries that came out and eventually led on to an ongoing series from there. It's a darker tale. It is more along the lines of the Swamp Thing from Vertigo type thing. They fit in really well there. You had Susan Linden, who was reborn as the Black Orchid. She was a hybrid plant person type thing, and yeah, she actually had went to avenge her own death from there. So it is a rather dark tale. That's why it came out with Vertigo, but it is something that I would recommend for, you know, anyone who's interested in these early works. It's Neil Gaiman. You really can't go wrong with Neil Gaiman. I've been a fan of his for many years. So as I said, it's going to be 168 pages, $24.99, and it should be on sale on April 4th. So this is a pre-order for this, like early order on this one. I'll check it out there. I definitely want to be getting this one myself. Okay, I'll let you go back to Bob and John.
Next up on page 160 from IDW is Doctor Who number 14. Now this starts a four-part story written by Joshua Hill-Fialkoff, who's doing iVampire over at DC and stuff. And I've been really enjoying the Doctor Who ongoing series. I think it does a good job capturing the tone and style, as well as the likenesses of the characters, for the series. The whole thing, it feels very much in line with what's going on with Doctor Who, and I really enjoy that. I think IDW's done a great job handling Doctor Who for many years now. I'm looking forward to seeing what Joshua Fialkoff does with the property. It looks like we're going to a Casablanca kind of a storyline here. We'll see how that goes. Matthew Dow Smith, I should clarify, is doing the interior art on this. There's a variant cover where he does the cover, but Mark Buckingham's doing the regular cover. This Matt Smith is doing a great job portraying the Matt Smith who plays the Doctor. It's just kind of funny how the names line up there. But again, they're doing a great job. If you're a Doctor Who fan, this is worth checking out. DCBS has it at a 50% discount. But it's also the start of a new story arc, so if you see it at the local comic shop, you know, flip through that issue, issue 14, when it comes out, and maybe you'll like it, and give it a shot.
And next up, we've got The Thief of Thieves, number one from Image. The story is by Robert Kirkman and Nick Spencer, with art by Sean Martinborough. This is a story of Conrad Paulson, who lives a secret life as a master thief. There's nothing he can't steal and nothing he can't have, except for the life he left behind. He has a grown son he hardly knew and an ex-wife he never stopped loving, and he's trying to piece his life together. And in the beginning pages that they print for us here in previews on page 173 through 175, we've got three full pages. He's meeting a young female thief named Celia, and he's helping her learn how to steal a car. And the dialogue is wonderful, characterization's great, and I am definitely on board for picking up this new series from a couple of really great writers. So it looks like this is going to come out really great with them working together. We've got a 50% off discount on this through DCBS, so you can pick the book up for $1.49.
Hey guys, it's Damien here from LordShaper.com with my next pick, which is on page 176, which is The Darkness, issue 100. If you remember last month, I actually mentioned issue 99 because it was the 15th anniversary of The Darkness. This is actually the 100th issue of The Darkness, so I'm going to mention it again. Stories by Phil Hester, art by Romano Molinar. There's four covers coming with it as well, so you can make your choice of covers there as well. It's a $4.99 book, but it's going to be 48 pages on that one, so you know you're getting double the thing for less than, you know, double the money. So I'm looking forward to this one myself. So from what I hear, Phil's actually going to be leaving the book at some point. I don't know when, but I would really, to be honest, I'm going to be really sad when he leaves the book because he's done such a good job with the character himself. So check it out, page 176, and yeah, this is the anniversary issue. Go and get it. Okay, then back to the guys.
Hi, this is Bill from Geek Brunch Podcast. My first pick of the month is on page 178 from Image Comics. It's Glory 23. This continues the old Glory series from Image, which ran in the 90s, I believe. Now, I did not read the old Glory series, which was created by Rob Liefeld. I'm not sure if he did work on it or just created it. Probably did some work on it. So the reason I'm interested in this, though, is because of the artist for this new run, which is Ross Campbell. Now, Ross currently does two graphic novel series, Shadow Eyes and Wet Moon, his ongoing Wet Moon, which has been going on for years. Those come out sporadically. So this is his new gig. The writing is by Joe Keating, who is one of the editors on the Pop Gun anthology series, and it looks like he's done some writing for Pop Gun and a couple other titles, but it looks like this might be his first ongoing book, so it should be interesting. Glory is apparently Extreme's original warrior goddess. The solicit reads, After being missing for almost a decade, Gloria's whereabouts are uncovered by a lone reporter, but the globe-spanning conspiracy keeping her hidden from humanity could make her return more dangerous than anyone anticipated. So the numbering continues from the old series, but I believe they're kind of, I don't know if it's a reboot or just an expansion kind of on the old idea. In this first issue, it looks like they're going to tell some of Gloria's backstory, and then kind of introduce her to whatever this new arc is going to be. I'm really looking forward to it. From what I've seen, Joe Keating is very excited about this story, and I love Ross Campbell's art, so for me it's a no-brainer in ordering it. So there are preview pages online and in the previews catalog. So if you're interested, you can check out those pages and see what it looks like and what it's going to be like. Thanks. This is Bill from Geek Brunch with my next pick, which is on page 194, which is King City trade paperback from Image Comics. I am very excited about this. This will actually be my third time getting King City. If you'll remember, it originally was a Tokyo Pop series, intended to be three volumes. The first volume was released in their American, is when they started doing some American manga books. The first volume came out, and then they decided they didn't want to do American manga anymore, and they stopped it. So it never came out, and it looked like it was going to be hung up in a legal battle where Tokyo Pop owned the rights to it. But through some finessing, which I know nothing about, it got released last year by Image in single oversized issues. Image brought out the 12-issue run, and now this is the collection of it. So finally we get the full collection of King City. So it's by Brandon Graham, who is one of my favorite creators. So in terms of his story and art, Brandon is very influenced by European comics and Asian comics, so both manga and European influences as well. I mean, he's from America, so he has American sensibilities. So this story is about Joe, this character Joe, and his friends living in this futuristic kind of other universe world. So it's kind of a sci-fi, but I guess it's technically kind of like a sci-fi comedy almost. It's about this guy Joe, who is a cat master, which means he's gone and he's been trained in the art of using his cat as... He's a special cat that can be used as any tool or any weapon, so if he wants his cat to be turned into a gun, it'll go into the position of a gun, or it can be a backpack, or it can be anything he needs it to do, it can basically do. Which sounds goofy, but it's pretty cool on the comic. His best friend is this guy Pete, who wears his hat over his face, and he gets this job and ends up falling in love with this girl he's supposed to protect or deliver. And then there's a side story with Joe's ex-girlfriend and her boyfriend, who's a veteran of the zombie war. So you get some background into that, and he's a drug addict now. This is just a great story with a great world. Very, very enjoyable. It's 424 pages, so it's pretty big. Like I said, it was the 12 issues. So, and I don't know if it's oversized or not. It doesn't say. But Brandon Graham did the art and the cover. You can probably find some previews of this online. I'm really looking forward to this. This is one of my two picks of the month. So the other pick is this and American Barbarian are the ones I'm most looking forward to this month. So yeah, check it out. Thanks.
And I'll echo Joe's accolades for the King City Trade paperback. A great, great series. If you missed it in those 12 issues, pick up this trade paperback. This series has a special discount from DCBS. It's 50% off. And I have an interview with creator Brandon Graham that will go up on Friday. So check that out if you want to hear some more about this book from the creator's mouth. We'll also talk about his work on Prophet.
Next up, we dive into the Marvel previews. We're going to cover the item on page 2, which is Winter Soldier number 1. Now, on page 3 is Winter Soldier number 2. Both of these are by Ed Brubaker and Butch Geiss. These are the guys who, of course, have dealt with this character for quite some time over the years in the Captain America book. And really, that one volume of Captain America that on it went up to issue 50 really focused heavily on the Winter Soldier it brought Bucky back and did it in a very believable and, frankly, a very great way. And for one of those characters that almost had to stay dead for comics to work to a degree, you know, to bring back one of the characters like Bucky was really an uphill battle, very challenging, and something that could have been very contrived and so forth. But they told a brilliant story in that, and I'm looking forward to seeing that character, you know, being able to move forward under the Winter Soldier name and kind of take his place in the Marvel Universe. I think this is a great companion title to Captain America, and one that is sufficiently distinct from Captain America to justify existing. And, of course, Brubaker is a brilliant writer. Butch Geiss is an excellent artist. You can't top that kind of a creative team. It's going to have not only the Winter Soldier, but also Black Widow as a regular character doing the whole super spy thing in the Marvel Universe. That just sounds like fun. Apparently the first story is around somebody trying to kill Dr. Doom, and I'm assuming they may feel obligated to protect him because it's not... maybe not. Maybe they'll go after and kill him. I mean, that's the kind of thing that actually could try to happen here. So, looks like a lot of fun. It's a $2.99 cover price for the first and second issue, which is nice. Sometimes Marvel dives a little deeper into our wallets at a $3.99. But again, $2.99 cover price. DCBS has this at a 75% discount. DCBS always tries to make it hard to pass up these first issues, which is just smart. If you're getting stuff at your local store, check this out. If you're definitely going to get it at a local store, let your retailer know. That always helps them with their planning and their ordering. That way they'll have enough copies. They also have a poster available last month, I guess, for this. But I'm looking forward to the series. Love the creative team, love the characters. Hard to go wrong with this. So give it a shot. Next up on page 18 of the Marvel previews is Secret Avengers number 22. Now, this is, for all intents and purposes, almost a reboot of the series and the title. I mean, we get a new creative team. Rick Remender is the writer. Gabriel Hardman is the artist. And we get an all-new lineup here, for the most part. We get Captain Britain and Giant Man joining the team. Hawkeye is becoming the leader. It looks like we're getting Sentinels, Adaptoids, all kinds of fun stuff. Also looks like we're getting Venom joining the team from the variant cover, it's looking like. Possibly a Human Torch. Don't know if that's going to be Johnny Storm or Jim Hammond. Actually, I'd kind of favor Jim Hammond. It'd be fun to see him back. But I think they're trying to really integrate some of the Avenger titles. I think Captain America is still going to be around. He's shown in the cover for issue 23, which is on page 19 here. So it's actually got Black Widow too, so who knows, the Winter Soldier may show up too. It's one of those things that I think they're doing some fun stuff with this. I think shaking it up is going to be interesting. Remender's a pretty good writer. Whether he's the best suited for this, we'll find out. But I've been liking Secret Avengers quite a bit, and, you know, kind of this new direction, new creative team, new take on it, whatever, which isn't going to, I think, be a complete departure from what it had been. But again, shake it up, take it in a new direction, and see where it goes. Great time to jump on. It's a $3.99 cover price. It's a 50% discount through DCBS. But again, we always like to highlight these, you know, new creative teams, new story arcs, new change in direction type issues. Because that way, if you're at the store, maybe you'd given up on it before, maybe you'd gotten tired of it, maybe you're just looking for a new title. Check it out when it comes out in February, when it's on the rack. Again, it's going to have Captain Britain, it's going to have Giant Man and Hawkeye very, you know, prominently on the cover. See if it's your cup of tea, see if you like it, and if so, pick it up.
Next up, I've got a pick that is the 12, number 9. This is J. Michael Straczynski and Chris Weston's return to this book after about a 3-year absence. They did up till issue 8, which was cover dated December 2008. It is now, as I speak, December 2011, 3 years later, and it'll be another couple of months before this comes out. This is double solicited this month, issues 9 and 10. I'm assuming 11 and 12 will be solicited next month, and we'll finally see the end of this alternate World War II superhero team story in the modern day by JMS and Chris Weston. I really liked this series when it was out before. I have a somewhat vague memory of it, but I know I liked it enough that I'm going to pick up the last 4 issues to see how it ends. DCBS discount on this one of 50%, so if you want to jump back on, you can. They also have a Marvel must-have edition collecting issues 7 and 8 that would be the issues that are not collected in the first trade paperback. So if you really wanted to catch up and read this series, you could get the trade paperback, the Marvel must-have, and then pick this up with issue 9, or I'm sure get it digitally, or just wait until it's finished, and there'll probably be a hardcover collecting the entire series. And on page 224, we've got the Space-Time Condominium Season 1 trade paperback. This is a webcomic by Dave Dwanch that is essentially, it's acting like it's an adaptation of a failed Canadian sitcom from the 80s. And this is the first season of that failed Canadian sitcom. It's actually pretty funny. I one of the webcomics that I have on my RSS feed reader, and I read religiously that along with things like Battle Pug and Mystery Solved and, you know, many others, but this is a great webcomic. Basically, we have a condominium that's set at the center of a multiverse, and there's a guy called Griffin Griffins, and there's all these different Griffins from parallel universes, and a guy known as the Gatekeeper is gathering Griffins from parallel Earths to live under a single roof. And, you know, so you have a bunch of parallel versions of Griffin. It's a comedy. It's limited to 500 copies. Each one will be signed by Dave Dwanch. The price on this one is $14.95, but we've got a DCBS discount of 30% that will bring it down to $10.47. If you don't want to pay for this, you can always go and try it online. It's a great series, and you can read the entirety online. But if you fall in love with it like I did, then you'll want to have a hard copy of it also. We've also got the wonderful Amber Love doing an interview with Dave on our Friday episode, so you can check that out. And maybe after listening to that, you'll want to go and read this online and also make an order to get Space Time Condominium, Volume 1.
It's Damien back again with another pick, which is Gearheart's Steampunk Glamour Review. This is the first time I've actually heard of it. I missed it when the first one came out. So this is something that sort of intrigued me. You just have to put steampunk and I'll sort of take notice these days. It's got an exclusive interview with and pictorial with New York Times best-selling author Gail Carrier. I don't know. This is jumping out at me. It looks like something I'll just have a look at. 32 pages, $3.99, coming out from Antarctic Press. I don't really get much from them. So it's something that's caught my eye. I'm not sure. Yeah, check it out if you're into steampunk. It may be interesting for that. It seems to have a lot of stuff in there. You've got models that are including Chelsea Borgman of the infamous airship Isabella. To be honest, I don't even know if this is actually going to be a comic or if it's going to be a pictorial type thing or if it's photos, art. Really, I'm just going to throw it out there that if you're into steampunk, this might be something you want to have a look at. Okay, then, I'll let you go back to the guys.
Next up on page 232, we've got the Sideshows original graphic novel. This is written by Eric Hendricks with art by Michael David Nelson. In 1950s Las Vegas, the mob has enlisted former circus attractions as their aces in the hole. These sideshows had a little secret. They really didn't have the ability they pretended to. The Rat Pack was in their prime, the bartender knew your name, and the same guy who comped you rooms could put a hit out on you for stiffing him on his tip. This is 1950s Vegas, man. There's high rollers, lounge singers, cigarettes, and superpowers. I have read this entire graphic novel in a press preview that was provided to me by Eric Hendricks, and I have an interview with Eric that's coming up on Friday. The art is kind of Ben Temple-Smithy, but really fits with the kind of feel of this, and it really does have a nice 1950s Vegas feel to it. So I highly recommend this one if you like that sort of genre, if that sounds interesting at all. Check out the interview on Friday. You'll hear Eric talk a lot more about the book, and maybe that'll help you make a decision to try this one out. It's a 77-page original graphic novel. The regular price is $9.95. It's at a 45% off special discount from DCBS, so you can pick it up for $5.47. That's a pretty good deal for what's essentially about three and a half issues worth of content.
This is Bill, my last pick of the month, which is on page 238 from Arden Entertainment. And I'm mentioning this one because it's a strange one and probably passed some people by. It's Mixtape Number One, which appears to be more of an indie comic, which is why I was surprised that it was coming out from Arden. It's written by Brad Abraham and art by Marco Gervasio. Rewind to the 1990s with Arden's new grunge era series Mixtape. When asked to escort acute Adrian to the end of summer bash, Jim Abbott's final year of high school is shaping up to be the best ever. But the unexpected return of unrequited love, Siobhan, to town forces Jim to choose between them. So, and this is a... Oh, I thought it said that it was a... No, I thought it was... I'm sorry, I thought it was a three issue, but it doesn't really say there. So this is... Yeah, a black and white indie comic about romance and teen angst in the 90s coming out from Arden. So, very strange. I did manage to find a preview of a few of the pages online, and it did look pretty good. The art was good, and the story seemed interesting. So, strange, yes, but I'm looking forward to it. And it's only $2.99, too, which is unusual. So, also, just as an aside, I see that Arden's also bringing out this new magazine, this Multiverse magazine. Someone else will probably cover it, but Arden seems to be expanding these days.
Next up on page 239 is actually a magazine, and I'm really curious about this one. It's Multiverse Magazine number 1. It's by Hell Freezes Over as the I guess it's the imprint name, because it looks like it's coming out from Arden. Interesting choice of an imprint name when Hell Freezes Over. Yeah, that's where I want to get something from. It'll come out on time. No, seriously, it probably will. It looks like they're basically trying to break into what I think is an insanely tough market of a print magazine about print comics, and I'm sure it'll cover digital, whatever. But really, outside of Tomorrow's, Tomorrow's, I'm sorry, thinking the supervillain there, but Tomorrow's, where they're doing, they did draw back, I guess those are still coming out, and if they've got a good line of successful or ongoing magazines about comics. They're pretty much the exception. I mean, a Wizard stopped doing print a while ago, went digital, and I think that may even have gone belly up. There have been a few other things that have tried doing print magazines. Comic Buyer's Guide may be the only one that's still going on a regular basis outside of Tomorrow's. So for somebody else to try to put a horse in the race and see how it goes should be interesting. They're going to try to do some print comics journalism, which, you know, is cool. You know, they're going to interview some creators. They're going to talk about, you know, in this case, the Avengers, the Earth 2 Man of Steel. So I'm looking forward to all of that. I'm curious if it's going to feel dated, if it's going to be, you know, up to date or whatever. It's got two covers. Frankly, I don't see that as a good sign. I'll probably get the Avengers one. It's a $4.99 magazine, so it's actually going to be cheaper than a lot of the magazines that have come out in the past. I don't know if it's going to be monthly, quarterly, you know, a one-shot or whatever, but I'm willing to give it a shot and see how it goes. I've picked up a lot of the other comic magazines in the past. I think in this day and age of the internet, it's again, it's an uphill battle, but, you know, the name itself of Multiverse Magazine, that just sounds kind of cool. I'm looking forward to see what they do. And, you know, check it out. This is the kind of thing that I wanted to spotlight because if you're interested in this, tell your retailer now. I think it's unlikely for most retailers to gamble too heavily on this sort of a thing. And for good reason. In a lot of cases, it just hasn't panned out well for other magazines. They'd last a few issues and that's that. And again, it's a tough market for print comics, and doing a derivative thing on it, not easy. So, check it out. It's a 68-page magazine. It is full color, so looks like they're not skimping on the production values there, which is cool. And if I look closely at what they're saying, it's going to have some stuff on Shazam, on Phoenix, on all kinds of stuff that's just too tiny to read. So we'll see how that goes. But again, check it out. 45% discount through DCBS.
And on page 241, we're returning to the second volume of Shrugged. This is a unique tale of human intellect and your heart's desires and the reason behind your every decision. The decisions and reasons aren't just in your head, they're real. We have little angels and devils that communicate and help guide our actions in the form of Ange and Dev. In this series, and they're helping out a high school kid. It's a great all-ages comic, and if you missed Volume 1, I would heartily recommend checking out the trade, but you don't need to have read Volume 1 to pick up with the story here in Volume 2. If you want to hear a little bit more about this, check out the interview with writer Frank Mastromoro that's coming up on Friday. We talk about this series, and we talk about the background of it, and it's a very entertaining series. Got this on a special discount from DCBS, and you'll be able to pick it up for $1.25. That's 50% off the normal cover price. And my last pick of the month is Adventure Time number 1 from Kaboom, which is Boom Studios' kids line. This is based on the wildly popular Cartoon Network show. We've got Finn the Human, Jake the Dog, and Princess Bubblegum having all new adventures in the Land of Ooh. This is a show my son, both my kids, actually love this show. It's their favorite show on television. And this really promises to be a great continuation of the cartoon show. If you've got kids and they have watched Adventure Time on Cartoon Network, then this is, or if you yourself have watched Adventure Time on Cartoon Network, then this is not to be missed. We've got a 50% discount on this, so you'll be able to pick it up for $2.
My pick of the month comes from page 268 of the previews catalog in the Dynamite section, Garth Ennis, Jennifer Blood Trade Paperback, Volume 1. I got the first three issues of this, and unfortunately it started coming out irregularly after that, but it was a lot of fun. If you like Garth Ennis and his kind of over-the-top madness, you'll love this book. It's kind of a cross between Punisher with Preacher with just a little bit of anybody with a gun thrown in you can think of. I cannot pronounce the artist's name, I apologize, but it's good, solid art like you've come to expect. This promises to be a very meaty read. The first three issues were. I'm hoping the next three will be that are contained in this. You can get this from DCBS or any other place of your choice, but if you do go to DCBS, they've got it at half off this month. Cost you $10. Good long read, good solid art, good Garth Ennis. Now back to the guys.
Hey everyone, it's Damien back again with my last pick for the month, which is all the way in the back on page 381, which is The Living Dead Dolls Presents Scary Tales, Volume 3, Hansel and Gretel. This is... Okay, if you've read the actual... If you've got any of The Living Dead Dolls, if you heard me talk about them before, you would know that I sort of collect these sorts of things, and we've picked up the actual previous one to this one, where it was the Alice in Wonderland type book for it, where you had them going through there. Well, this is Hansel and Gretel, who are actually going searching for the witch so they can eat her from head to toe. So it's taking the opposite sort of turnaround. So instead of the actual witch trying to kill them, they're trying to eat her. So if you like this sort of thing, that's done sort of like a photo book with the actual the dolls themselves actually doing all the actions and that. They're usually in a hardcover format. To be honest, this is something for the collectors out there. So it's coming out in March, so this is an early order for this one. And yeah, I know, I'm interested in it. It's $25.99. I'll be speaking to the wife, see if she wants to get it as well. And yeah, keep an eye out for it. Okay then, I'll let you go back to the guys, and I'll speak to you all next month.
So how's the damage for you this time around, Bob?
Pretty low. I mean, for me.
Yeah, all relative. But you've been cutting back. You've been doing a really good job on that. Too good, I think.
I'm actually, you know, my goal, which I set off on however long ago, 6-8 months ago, I was getting 185 comics a month. And my goal was by the end of the year, I wanted to be getting only 125 comics a month. And it was because I just physically, it wasn't that I didn't like them or anything, but I just couldn't physically read 185 comics a month. And I was in this deficit where every month my bin of unread books was growing bigger and bigger and bigger at an alarming rate. Cause you know, I kind of figured I was adding, you know, 50 or 60 books to the unread pile each month, and that I could probably comfortably read about 125 books a month. So that was my goal. I wanted to get down to 125 new comics a month, which is still a lot, you know, compared to most people, right? But it's, you know, two-thirds of 185, right?
Yeah.
And actually, on this previews, I am ordering 115 comics. So I went past my goal of 125 by 10, and I'm getting 115 comics. And if you're interested in knowing exactly what they all are, there's a thread on the forum that I list, you know, what I've, you know, what I'm getting on this this particular order. But you know, it's a lot fewer. But as you've heard us talk on the weekly comic spotlight, I tend to now, if something's a kind of a 3 out of 5 out of the gate, I'm not going to add it to my list. And, you know, I'm keeping the 4s and 5s. And I can understand, you know, some other people, they only collect things that are a 5 out of 5. And, you know, realistically, I read enough books that if I just collected 5 out of 5 comics that I personally felt were 5 out of 5, right? It's totally subjective. My 5 is someone else's 2 and vice versa. But I could probably collect easily 25 or 30 books a month of just getting things that I considered were most of the time a 5 out of 5 book.
I think that's part of where you and I differ in a couple of respects, not just in terms of how good does a book have to be to stay on our list, because definitely you're being a lot more stringent than I am on that. But I think where I tend to be a lot more stringent on would be what I would consider a 5 out of 5 consistent book. Because I'm just trying to think through, like, on the DC side right now, if I had that criteria, because, you know, if I, you know, catastrophic, you know, something happened or whatever, and I had to, like, drastically reduce my list to that 25 or under number of things. On the DC side, I think it would be Fables and Superman. I'm not sure I could name something else right now that I would say is a consistent 5 out of 5.
Well, if I'm looking at Marvel and DC, I can understand.
Yeah, but and that's my point though, is we're looking at different areas with different criteria.
I mean, for me on DC, I personally think you know, All-Star Western would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, but there's only been a couple issues out, so it's kind of hard to tell. But for me, the ones that would stick on DC would probably be All-Star Western, Demon Knights, Animal Man, Aquaman,
and, Aquaman's a good call, you're right.
And Batman, the Scott Snyder written one.
Yeah.
You know, maybe another one or two books. And then on Marvel, you know, probably be Daredevil and Spider-Man and
I'd have to give a long
Thunder,
thought,
you know,
on
it's
the,
like
the
I would probably
Marvel
be
side.
Daredevil and Spider-Man, you know, on the and Avengers Academy. You know, on the Marvel side for me, maybe Captain America. And then, you know, most of them would be indie books.
Well,
you know,
you know,
for me,
the funny thing
would,
is
I would get Fables and Scalped though from Vertigo.
What we're talking about right here is essentially the almost the without with not kind of criteria. Without these, I'm not reading comics kind of a thing. You know what I mean? These are the ones that are sacrosanct, that are on the list in chiseled stone with gold filling or whatever. They are just on the list, period. And I mean, we both get a ton of books, and those are fairly short lists we've just talked about. Now, I'd have to think about the Marvel and the other. I mean, Usagi would make it, Atomic Robo would make it, and a few others. But I've got on my DCBS order form here 123 things listed for bags and boards. That's counting one for the 52 of the DC, which I'm still getting. So that's, what, 174 items? And I think, you know, the only ones that are you know, so firmly locked in on my list that I couldn't dream of not getting them, you know, easily is a tenth of that. You know, that says something right there. I mean, I'm enjoying most of the other books a lot, some a little less so than others, but none of them I'm thinking, oh, geez, it's just painful to read, you know, month in, month out or whatever. There are a couple of particular issues are that way. But it says something that at other points in the past, if I had to go, you know, cut 15, 20 books, and I mean cut that many, not cut down to that many, that would have been very hard to do because I thought things had a lot more continuity in my mind, stickiness, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I think some of this goes back to the relaunch of the DC Universe the number of times they renumber stuff at Marvel. Each one of those things kind of chips away at the strength of how firmly it's on my pull list. The other thing I think we should do this time around, we talked to the Weekly Comic Spotlight this week about how we may change up the format of that series of episodes a little because our reading lists have really diverged. So I think it'd be fun to kind of go through the main premier publishers real quick and then kind of the back half, just with a count of how many each of us are getting from each publisher. We've done that a few times in the past. Because like from Dark Horse this time around, I'm getting 6 items with 2 maybes at the moment. Haven't decided on that Dawn of the Jedi stuff.
I'm getting 8 from Dark Horse. But, you know, I get, you know, my and would be on my must-buy list would be Usagi, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he would stick no matter what. And I really like the Goon. He might be sticky because that doesn't come out that consistently. But, you know, then I get the Hellboy BPRD stuff, which I could realistically switch to getting those in trades if push comes to shove and, you know, get those on a very infrequent basis. You know, so I'm talking BPRD stuff and Lobster Johnson and Hellboy, anything that's in that Hellboy universe I get. And I still get Dark Horse Presents, but that would probably go. And then I'm really excited. I get the Conan stuff. I'm really excited for this new Brian Wood, Becky Cloonan take on Conan. So, you know, that's my dark horse.
For me, I mean, Usagi would stay on the list. Brody's Ghost, which doesn't come out that often, but I really enjoy Mark Curley's work, so that would stay. Getting some of the Star Wars stuff, but that, to me, I could live without, and I'm picking up Dark Matter, and that's one, again, if I had to be really selective, I wouldn't get. But I think our amount at Dark Horse is usually roughly the same. I think you tend to get a bit more than I do, but aside from Usagi, I think it's in different areas of their publishing line.
Right, I tend towards the Goon. I mean, rather Hellboy and Conan. You know, it's my big thing, and you get a lot more Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. Now over at DC, I'm still getting all of the new 52 stuff. So I'm getting a total of all that plus a bunch of things, which totals up to I think 67 comic books.
I'm getting 40 from DC, but that includes 5 Vertigo books. So that would bring me down to 35 DC Universe books. And of those 35 DC Universe books, I think 30 of them are, maybe 29 or 30 of them are New 52. And then others are ones that came along after, like My Greatest Adventure, Huntress, The Ray, Legion, Secret Origin, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Because DCBS still has the extra 10% discount on the whole, if you get all 52 of the 52, it's like, okay, I'll do that. Because they're only a handful I'd drop. And at this point, it's like, I'll give them a little longer to see if they grow on me. Beyond that, I'm picking up, you know, again, Shade, Huntress, Batman Odyssey, Batman Beyond, that kind of stuff. I'm also picking up Young Justice, Fables, and Unwritten. But because they've essentially rebooted the DC Universe, I'm enjoying all those titles, but I'm still not at the point where they're kind of my version of. I haven't taken that level of investment in them yet. IDW, I am just not getting all that much. I'm getting, I think, 4 items. Next Men, the Star Trek ongoing and Star Trek Legion, and the Doctor Who ongoing, and I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm getting 4 also, but it's Next Men, Star Trek Legion, and then I switch up. I'm getting the Danger Girl book and Memorial by Chris Roberson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also picking up that Torpedo hardcover, which is a reprint of the European series by Jordi Bernet. But that's the last volume of that. That series is volume 5, and that completes Torpedo. So won't be getting that anymore.
Yeah. Now, over an Image, I think we have some overlap, but I think I get a lot fewer than you do.
I'm getting 24 items from Image.
I'm getting 10. And some of those are on the Top Cow side, which, with Darkness 100, with what they're doing on Witchblade and stuff, part of those are staying on the list because of the Top Cow bundles they're doing, the 75% off. It's like kind of hard to pass that up for such a deal. But you're getting just a ton more in this area than I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's my main, I mean, other than DC, I mean, I get more Image books than Marvel books. Image is my favorite publisher right now over all those stuff. But, you know, a lot of it is kind of in and out. You know, they always seem to have, I mean, they have a few ongoings, you know, like, of course, Walking Dead and Morning Elephant Glories, Man. Elephant Men,
Invincible.
Yeah. You know, there's a variety of those, but then there's a lot of different minis that come out, or ones that I'm not sure whether they're going to stay around for that long. You know, like the new Thief of Thieves looks really cool. You know, Fatale by Ed Brubaker, Blue Estate. That seems to be an ongoing, but I don't know, Moriarty, Pigs, Reed Gunther, you know, I get a lot of books from them and they're all very different and I like them. So I have a good time with my Image books. You know, there'll be several, you know, if I was looking at my list of 5 out of 5 kind of must have things, there would be quite a few Image titles that would be on that list.
There'd be a couple for me, but probably not that many. I'd actually have to, those would be the decision point ones. I don't know that I have anything on there that is just so guaranteed it would be on the list.
Yeah, I mean, for me, just easily off the top, Walking Dead and Elephant Men would absolutely be sticking around for me, you know. And
Last of the Greats I would continue on just because it's a miniseries. Yeah. Morning Glories I would probably definitely stick with.
I would stick with Morning Glories. And then there's a lot of ones that are kind of like, there's a variety of minis that I really like, and, you know, I would probably continue at any given point in time, probably be at least 4 or 5 minis coming out from Image that I would be wanting to get.
That would be the area, though, where I would have the most agonizing, just because there are some that are not in that, though they definitely stay, but are so close to that, that they'd be some tough decisions. And part of it is Image has a really diverse lineup of books. And it, like you said, some of it is kind of their equivalent of an evergreen. I mean, some of these are going on, you know, with Walking Dead, it's getting close to 100. With same with Invincible, Witchblade's at 150 and stuff. So they've got some of those, but they also have kind of the flash in the pan. It's here for a couple of months, it's gone. That's part of what makes some of those things a little less locked in on my pull list, is the come and go nature of some of the stuff at Image. But that's also one of their huge strengths, is they always have something new coming out, and it's always something very different.
And they have a lot of cool stuff. I don't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I was at that Image panel, a couple of the Image panels at San Diego Con. They have a lot of really cool stuff coming in 2012, a lot of cool creator-owned stuff, you know, that I'm really looking forward to. And, you know, I'm going to definitely be, you know, keeping my toe in the waters of Image pretty heavily, probably at least for the foreseeable future.
I would be very curious if, and I know no study like this will ever be done, but if one were to be done, where somebody were to analyze how much time people who go through previews spend in each of the different sections, I would hazard to guess Image would have more time per page kind of a thing spent than like Marvel or DC or some of these others. Because in a lot of cases, it's a, well, I always get this, I always get this. But between Image doing a very good job on having a couple of pages of full-size art, and just, again, that rotating stuff of, oh, here's the new thing this month. I mean, they usually have quite a few new number ones every month. There's more decision points and more analysis and thought to be had in that area.
The one thing I like about previews as opposed to just looking at the things online is in the Image section in particular, they tend to print, you know, samples, you know, like they printed the first 3 pages of Thief of Thieves in here, full-sized. And I read those and I was like, wow, that looks really great. I'm getting that. Absolutely. You know, they had a couple of pages of Glory. And, you know, I really like Ross Campbell's art. So it's like, okay, I'm getting that. You know, they put some 4 pages of Alpha Girl. They put 4 pages of No Place Like Home. You know, 4 pages of Peter Panzerfaust. You know, they just put these things. And sometimes I look at it and say, oh, you know, that's something that maybe is not for me.
But I would qualify even that as a win for Image.
Sure, because I looked at it, you know, and
you
somebody,
at it,
you know, would like it.
You decided if it was right for you or not without having to invest money in it, so you don't feel bad like you've been getting the string of Image books that just didn't work for you. Because if that had happened, you'd be getting soured on Image.
Right.
Whereas now you're picking up all the ones and you're liking them, so you're very jazzed about Image.
Yeah.
So they're doing a very effective job with their section and previews.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing with Image, and, you know, this was pointed out on the forum in a thread recently, is, you know, they get kind of a bad knock because some of the books, especially because they have a very different publishing model than Marvel or DC, because there's so many creator-owned books, and you'll have books that just an issue or two come out, and then like 6 months go by, and you don't see an issue. And I'm not even talking about Top Cow, but you know, like the poster child of this is like Non-Player by Nate Simpson. I mean, I loved the first issue of that, and it came out in like April or something, and we haven't even seen number two get solicited. Now, granted, he had a bike accident and broke, you know, some bones in his right arm that's his drawing arm, but that was in like October that happened. And, you know, it's great. I mean, he's a great guy. And whenever another issue of that comes out, I'll definitely buy it. But, you know, that kind of thing, or memoir, or, you know, there's just a variety of different series that I was getting from Image that, you know, you'll have big gaps because they are creator-owned. Maybe the guy's doing something else somewhere else, or they're, you know, got a day job or whatever, and they don't come out like clockwork every single month, and that kills momentum for a lot of people. And, you know, if those are the only books that a person's buying from Image, then they tend to paint the entirety of Image with that brush. Although I would say that Image has a lot of books that come out on a very regular basis, you know, like Morning Glories. I don't know that there's been any significant shipping delays in that series. It's been coming out like clockwork, you know. Walking Dead for the last year or so has been coming out pretty reliably, as has Invincible, and, you know.
I think part of it, like with those two with Kirkman, is lately they have been, but they've also had a couple of periods where they got so behind that people are remembering part of it.
When he was selling Walking Dead and initially developing it, I think a lot of the comic work fell by the wayside. But I read an interview with him that now that the show's actually in production, he goes in and he goes in at like, you know, 8-9 in the morning to the writer's room, and none of the Hollywood writers come strolling in until after lunch or something. So he just sits in the writer's room at the show and writes a couple of comic books in the morning, you know, every day. So he has a chance to keep on schedule.
But there's two aspects where that's benefiting him. One, the discipline to be getting the work done on a scheduled basis, which I totally applaud. I think that's awesome of him, because he could have taken the TV show just as a gravy train paycheck and frankly gotten lazy. He didn't. That's awesome.
Or he could just say, well, everyone else is coming in at 1 o'clock. I'll come in at 1 o'clock.
That's my point. He could have just taken the money and said, oh, I don't have to work that hard, and slacked off. He didn't. He did the right thing. Plus, he's now got the benefit of that cash flow coming in, I assume, that makes it easier for him to be paying and the artists and keeping all that stuff running smoothly. So that's great. But there are other times where some of the other flagship titles at Image, Savage Dragon and Spawn being poster childs of this, got so egregiously late. At one point, they had like a year's worth of Spawn issues solicited, and they had to resolicit and, you know, do all that, kind of cut the cord and do over on those. And, you know, they still seem to get behind. So I think Image has a bad reputation for lateness. Some of that is undeserved on many titles and completely erroneous. But there are others where it's legit. Some of that's more in the past. They're doing a better job now. But I think it's just like the concern we voiced on the Weekly Comic Spotlight about Dynamite oversaturating on books and do we want to go with Flash Gordon or not. This is a reputational aspect of Image that the creators, the publisher, just need to be aware of and work to correct. And they are, and they're doing a good job on that.
The thing with Image, though, is the way I look at it is Image is kind of a publishing mechanism for a bunch of creator-owned projects for the most part. And I look at anything on Image not as Image is doing this, but it's like I look at it and say, well, creator X tends to not be able to get stuff out on time. And I put it on the specific creator, not on Image as a company, because Image is not wielding a giant stick on these creators. I mean, they're publishing through Image, but they'll get the books done when they get them done. And it's like if Kirkman is right now in a mode where he's getting all his stuff done and getting it out, and, you know, Nick Spencer and Joe Eisma do a great job on keeping Morning Glories on schedule, and, you know, Josh Fialkov is getting Last of the Greats out every month, and, you know, all that. You know, Hackslash comes out like clockwork every month. Elephant Men comes out every month. You know, it's like those creators, you know, Richard Starkings and Tim Seeley and all these guys, I mean, they they're very good. They're very disciplined. They get their books out when their books are supposed to be out. And then the other books, you know, you just kind of look at it on a creator by creator basis and say, okay, well,
that's great.
This guy tends to
have a track record,
you know,
though.
Yeah.
If the creator doesn't have a track record, you've got nothing else to go on.
That's right.
And you think, well, it's Image. Image has the possibility, because of how it's structured, that it could be egregiously late. Whereas the same title from the same creators at another publisher, that publisher might force them to stockpile to where it comes out more likely on time.
Well, yeah, if that other publisher's Marvel or DC. I mean, I kind of look at Image and I compare it to, it's a front half of Previews for the back half of Previews. You know, and it's like when I'm buying stuff out of the back half of Previews, it's kind of the same way. You're rolling the dice on whether something's coming out, and it's kind of, again, on a creator-by-creator basis back there.
Yeah, but I think there's still, unfortunately, a bit more dice rolling on the Marvel and DC section. Witness some of the books they cut off midstream at Marvel. Yeah.
Well, even there, you know, you got to look at creators. If I see Steve McNiven on art on something,
yeah,
I'm going to figure there's either going to be fill-in issues or that book's going to ship late or something. Because, you know, he just doesn't seem to be able to get a monthly book done. Or, you know, when you see Ethan Van Sciver doing art, you know, it's like he just has said, you know, he can't do a monthly book. So he tends to not take monthly assignments on art anymore. You know, he'll do something that he can kind of get completed. Or he'll, like when he did the bookends on Sinestro War or something. I mean, he at least knows that he can't do a monthly book. So he tends to not make those kind of commitments.
Well, and that's the more important part, is he doesn't make those commitments. You know, he's able to work with publishers that are able to accommodate what he can actually do. He sets expectations and then meets them. Versus, you know, when something comes out and it looks like it's going to be just a monthly book and it's not, that's where people get frustrated. And when enough of it happens at any publisher, either for at any creator, publisher, whatever, people start reacting accordingly and, frankly, in many cases, overreact accordingly. So it's interesting with Image on that. They're definitely a publisher, I think, is worth people keeping a much closer eye on than other publishers, just because of the dynamic nature of their list of titles. Now, over at Marvel, this is an area where there's a huge difference in how many we get. You were saying you're down to, 11?
16 comics, and that's 10 titles.
Yeah. I am getting 71.
Just think of that, though. 16 comics, and that's 10 titles. Because of double and triple shipping.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting 71 comics. I haven't subtracted out everything that's double shipping because there's just, frankly, so damn much of it. You know, Secret Avengers, New Avengers, Avengers, Avengers Academy, Fear Itself, Fearless, of course, Winter Soldier, Ultimate X-Men, Amazing Spider-Man, Venom is
five, like, issues this month.
Five issues. That's just crazy. New Mutants, X-Men, Deadpool, X-Factor, X-Force, Uncanny X-Men, Wolverine and the X-Men. I mean, they're going a bit crazy with that.
Every month, I tend to look at it. They're in like the 15 to 19 multiple ship books per month. The specific books will vary month over month. But I think they have to. You know, they tend to, a lot of their books, especially ones that they pulled back to $2.99, they're trying to keep the revenue stream per year to the same standard by just making sure that they ship like 16 issues a year instead of 12 issues a year. So they'll get that, you know, in the course of a year, they'll get that extra buck, you know, a month from you through the double ships, which is fine if you love the book. And that's how it worked for me. I mean, I really like Avengers Academy. I like Spider-Man. So I don't mind getting a couple issues a month of those books, you know, but on other books, I didn't like them that much. So, you know, it's like the double ship has driven me away from some books.
But the other thing is, even if you like them just fine, if you're getting an extra, you know, dozen or two books, comics a month because of the double shipping and stuff, that's how you start to build up that backlog of unread comics you were complaining about, which caused you to cut back. So I think it's something that is detrimental to be trying to open the floodgates of getting the cash now versus getting it in the long term. You know, are they doing a better job getting the long term revenue out of Avengers Academy by double shipping it so often now, or would they be better off, you know, a slower but steadier stream of stuff going down the line? Now, granted, with sales drop off, you could argue they're better off getting it now, but it's something they just need to be thinking a bit more about, because I think they're doing a bit of strip mining over at Marvel these days with that. But, you know, that's a case where, again, you're getting about a quarter of the number of comics from them that I am. So picking on the weekly comic spotlight on the Marvel section is getting a little challenging.
Yep. You know?
And then in the inverse case, you're getting, I think, a lot more on the back half of previews than I am.
Well, you know, on the indie side, since it's the combination of the back half plus Image, IDW, and Dark Horse, you know, I get a decent number, you know, there. I mean, all total, I'm getting 56 comics from the big two,
mm-hmm.
and I'm getting 59 others. So well, I'm getting more other books. In the back half, I'm getting 23 books.
All right, so actually it's not that different because I'm getting around 20.
But
that includes the Multiverse magazine.
Yeah. The difference is that you're getting a lot of them probably from Dynamite.
Yeah.
Whereas my Dynamite is Warlord of Mars and Deja Thoris.
While we're getting the same number, the overlap is fairly minimal.
Right.
You know, I think we're both getting Rachel Rising.
We're getting
Unified.
Incorruptible and Irredeemable. You know, it's like...
Well, and Sergio's Fun Age.
Aragone's Fun Age, yeah.
Let's see, Atomic Robo when it comes out, but that didn't happen.
Yeah,
this
it's not on this one.
But other than that, maybe Extinction Seed. I don't know how much overlap there is between our stuff in the back half.
Yeah, you stopped getting Knights of the Dinner Table. And see, that's actually one of mine that would be on my 5 out of 5. I would not drop that book.
Mm-hmm.
I love that book. But I've been reading that book since it was in Shadus magazine.
Yeah.
You know, I've read every single issue of it. Except two. I missed two issues way back when, which I just recently got a want list hit on Knights of the Dinner Table number 13 at mycomicshop.com and bought it. So
cool.
I'm only missing one issue of Knights of the Dinner Table now.
But I think that kind of shows how, even though we're getting a lot of comics, there's even more comics out there to be had because there's a lot I'm getting that you're not and a lot you're getting that I'm not. And we need to be kind of, since our reading habits have diverged enough, need to be rethinking how we do kind of the weekly comic spotlight, maybe. We want to stick with doing a DC, a Marvel, and another, because I think that's a good way to be representative of really what all is out there. But if we start limiting it to the Marvels we have in common, or the other stuff we have in common, or the DC stuff we have in common, that's where it's starting to get a little hard to do some of the picks of what we're going to talk about.
I think just spotlighting a little more diverse set of things for the listeners, too, would be good.
Yeah. But I'd like the listeners to kind of chime in on, you know, what are they getting? Where do they think, you know, we should be focusing more? I mean, do they want to hear me talk about the Kirby Genesis stuff? Or maybe they don't. Maybe they want to hear you talk about something else in the indie section. I don't know. Right.
So, and, you know, chiming in on these previews episodes is another good way of doing that. You know, it's like saying, hey, you know, check out these books that I'm getting.
Yeah.
I get talked into books all the time by people sending in clips or joining in on the previews call.
Yeah, I find that really helpful because there are a lot of things I'm just kind of on the fence on. And my goal is not to be buying more comics, but my goal is to be buying more comics I will really enjoy. So if somebody steers me away from a book just because it is not for me, that's a good thing because that frees up that money to be spent on something that somebody steers me toward because I'd love it. You know, and again, that's the whole thing we're trying to do here. Again, we've got an open submission policy. We do the teleconference every month. It happens on the second Friday after previews is released. So previews will come out on a Wednesday, not 2 days, but 9 days after that is when we do the previews call. On a Friday evening, we do that on Skype. We can dial out to people if we need to, if somebody would like to join in but doesn't have Skype. That's also the deadline that evening for sending in clips. All you need to do is, I mean, you've heard the clips on this episode, send in a minute or two clip on, hey, you know, on page whatever from this publisher, there's this item, I think it's wonderful because, and get us interested in the title. Give us a sales pitch on this because, you know, frankly, as good as the sales and marketing people are at some of these companies, they've got a postage stamp sized cover image in the back and a sentence or two to sell us on it. That's hard to do. And for that matter, if you're a creator or a publisher or a marketing person at one of these publishers, you can send in clips too. We have no problem with that. We want to match people up with the books they're going to love. So anything we can do to make that happen, and we need your help for that. So please send in clips. We really need those. Those also help us, you know, like I said, pick up new titles. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else, or does that pretty much do it?
Does it for me.
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.